with what's news from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The U.S. steel industry has been successful in getting certain tariff exemptions.
We saw that their success rate was extremely high compared to any other industry that we looked at. We compared it to the Consumer Technologies Association. We looked at the National Retail Federation. We looked at the National Association of Home Builders. And none of them were as successful in getting relief from the tariffs.
Wall Street Journal reporter Inti Pacheco has the details. But first, these top stories. President Trump has threatened to substantially reduce foreign aid to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. That's after he threatened to deploy the military to the southern border as thousands of Central American migrants make their way toward the United States. Many of them crossed the Mexican border illegally. Mexico has since limited the number of people who can apply for asylum to about 150 at a time. The nation's four largest banks reported a combined 5% drop in U.S. deposits that earned no interest in the third quarter compared to a year ago. The Wall Street Journal reports that after nearly 3 years of rate increases, customers are opting instead to put their money into higher-yielding alternatives. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation says customers withdrew more than $30 billion from U.S. accounts that don't earn interest over the year that ended June 30th. That's likely to threaten future bank profits. Real estate investors are betting on the finalists for Amazon's second headquarters, and some aren't waiting for the final decision, telling the Journal it allows them to focus on areas with growing tech talent. Amazon is expected to invest up to $5 billion on its second headquarters. The company has narrowed the list down to 20 finalists. Toymaker Hasbro reported a 12% decline in sales in the third quarter, a loss attributed to the demise of Toys R Us. Hasbro is looking for new places to sell toys, including online and overseas. The company announced last week that it was laying off up to 10% of its workforce. It's also planning a global restructuring of the company. Still to come, the steel industry finds success in tariff exemptions. U.S. steel producers have been more successful than other industries in getting rid of tariffs they don't want. The industry had lobbied for tariffs on steel and aluminum earlier this year, but since then has successfully campaigned for the removal of many of the tariff lines from the final list. Joining us now in our studio with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Inti Pacheco. So, Inti, this isn't exactly an about-face for the steel industry, but can you explain the nuances here for an industry that did lobby for these tariffs but later sought to remove dozens of tariff lines? What changed?
So what happens is that before, they actually lobbied for the tariffs to be imposed on steel itself. But now they were looking, and I mean, they successfully did it. They asked for tariffs on raw materials and other chemicals that are needed for the steelmaking process. And what they did is that they argued that these materials are not available anywhere else than China in these amounts that they need, which is basically the same argument that every single other industry group made.
And at the same time, you found that the steel industry has been more successful than other major industry groups in petitioning for exemptions. How much more successful? How does the steel industry compare to other major industry groups?
I mean, if you look at a success rate of what they requested and what actually was removed from the final list of tariffs, the steel industry had a success rate of 50% exactly. So they requested 132 tariff lines to be removed from the list, and 66 of those were actually removed. When you compare it to other like big industry groups like the Consumers Technology Association or the National Retail Federation, the percentage is not even close.
And as you found, other groups have said that the steel industry is getting preferential treatment, especially when you consider ties between the industry and some officials working for the Trump administration, like Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer.
Right. I mean, those two names that you just mentioned have always been involved with the steel industry. Robert Lighthizer actually lobbied for the steel industry for almost two decades. And then specifically in this group that we were looking at, a woman named Jean Carroll Kemp, just started working for the Steel Manufacturers Association. And before that, she used to work in the U.S. Trade Representative's office. I have to say, though, that their claim is that they're not the only industry group that has someone that worked for the government at some point on their staff.
And how is the steel industry responding to those accusations of getting preferential treatment from the Trump administration?
So they said that there's no preferential treatment. They said that it's all due to their hard work. I talked to the director of the Steel Manufacturers Association, and he was really proud of their work. He just kept saying that it was very nice of me to point out their success.
Is this a case where an industry lobbied for tariffs and then found them to be more harmful to business later on?
I'm not 100% sure that's the case. It's just like they had very specific lines in the tariffs that actually did hurt them. And like they say, it's some like a list of products that they're not going to be able to get anywhere else other than China. But if you look at the entire thing, again, there's 6,000 tariff lines and they were only requesting for 132 to get removed. Again, I think like the main point here is, before they were all for tariffs and now they're like, no, this is not going to be great for us. We need you to remove this. And that's a case that everyone else made. But all the letters that we reviewed, the Steel Manufacturers Association was always the most successful.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Inti Pacheco joining us in our studio. Thank you so much, Inti.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
Enjoy the What's News podcast? Then try the What's News newsletter. Sign up at wsj.com/newsletters. That's wsj.com/newsletters.